This morning we're actually going to be doing things a little bit differently. It's Father's Day, and so I had the option. I preach a message. What do I preach? Do I preach a message about the Father? Do I preach a message to the fathers? What about hearing from the fathers? And so that's what we're going to be doing this morning. You're going to be hearing from several different fathers. Fathers at all different stages. From some are just getting going, really, in terms of being a father, and some have wisdom. Is it polite to say wisdom beyond their years? So they have plenty of fathering to go still. But that's who you're going to be hearing from this morning. So what I want to do is I want to pray. I'm going to bring up our first guy, and he's going to come up and share. We're going to share a little bit, sing a little bit, share some more. So let's pray. Father God, we do come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for the love that you have shown us through your Son, Lord. And Father, we thank you that... Lord, that your love is, it's so deep. And Father, we see that relationship between your Son and you. And Father, it would be every man's desire to have that kind of relationship with our children. And Father, I do pray that today would be a day that, Lord, that blesses the fathers, that blesses the families, blesses the children, but above and beyond everything, Lord, glorifies you. We thank you for this time. I thank you for these men, Lord, and I know that there are some that are nervous, and Father, I'm asking that your Spirit would calm them right now, because Lord, you have given them words that we need to hear, and that we need to hear this morning. Father, we thank you so much. We give you all the glory. Amen. Chad?
I forgot my Converse this morning. I thought it was a requirement. At my house, we kind of do our birthdays and holidays, like Mother and Father's Day is the weekend. So the boys took me fishing and showed me how to do it yesterday. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, guys. This morning, they made me breakfast. It was really good. Really good. So... my name is Chad Stoltz, and I am an introvert. This might explain to a lot of you that have had the opportunity to try to carry on a conversation with me, and then it ends in kind of that awkward, is he going to say anything? The best thing to do is ask me a question, give me about 12 hours and a pen and a piece of paper, and I'll answer your question 100%. So anyway, I don't know if that explains everything about me, but I thought it might help. Mike asked me a few weeks back if I might wish to share what it meant to me to be a father. And a picture always comes to mind for me. Perched high on his shoulders, knuckles white as his fingers are digging in to hold on, huge smile on his face as he takes in all that surrounds him from his new high perspective. I watch as they walk by, a father and his son riding on his shoulders. I'm at the St. Paul Rodeo with my uncle. I'm like 4 or 5, and it's the first memory I have of realizing I don't have a father. You see, he left when I was 2, and I have no memory of him. In some ways, it's good because I don't miss him since I never knew him. I wonder now more since I have become father to my 3 boys, what could bring him to leave and never look back? I don't know. So my life has been filled with questions about what it means to be a man and also how to be a father. I grew up being raised part of the time by my single mom, part of the time by my older brother, and the rest of the time by my grandparents. I learned a lot from my papa, but there was never a closeness or the bond that I imagine happens between a father and a son. Now I'm 39, and I have three amazing sons. Tucker is 15, Connor's 13, and Bodie's 9. And my beautiful wife, Elizabeth, holds it all together. But I thank God that He provided a way for me to get through my life so far and has spared me many trials that I have heard other men without fathers have gone through. It's been about 3 years since the Lord picked me up off my knees and reminded me who I am in Him. During the first 2 years, I devoted a lot of time and study to what the Bible says about love and how to do it. It started in my home. Ephesians 5:33 says, "However, let each one of you love your wife as himself." Now, I'm not here to teach you men about marriage or anything else, but this is where it started for me, loving my wife as myself. There's so much more to this than I could fit into the 5 minutes that Mike asked me to keep this to. But men, if you have never spent 5 minutes thinking what it means to love your wife unselfishly, I would recommend it. How does this relate to being a good father? I think it's been obvious for me and Liz that there's a direct relationship between how my kids respond to us when they see my wife and I love each other with respect in our home. Another verse that has had the same effect is Deuteronomy 6:5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That's the greatest commandment in the Bible, and it's the ultimate call to love. By obeying this commandment, we are demonstrating what it means to be a Christian to our kids and the rest of the world. Moving on in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This verse speaks about who my children will become. How does my life reflect obedience to Christ? Discipline, obedience, honor. As a father, I am responsible to discipline my boys. I demonstrate obedience to God, but also the authorities of this earth. And I honor my kids by allowing them to make mistakes, but always showing them the love and safety of a place that they can return to, just as Christ has done for me. Growing up without a father hasn't left my life empty because it was filled instantly with my Father in heaven. Everything I know on how to be a father, I have learned from Him. And when I became a father, my identity changed forever. At that moment, I am a father. I am blessed to have my family. And I'm in awe when I think of the responsibility God has bestowed on me to raise my kids, His kids. I would ask each one of you to pray for me, and I pray for the fathers here today regularly, because we have an awesome responsibility when it comes to leading our families. I love being a father, and I look forward to the years I have left with my boys. And by the way, I carried my kids on my shoulders every chance I got. Sorry. And if they'd let me, I'd still do it today. Because to me, that is the picture of what it means to be a father. Thank you.
Well, I want to start by saying thank you to Chad, because actually him going first kind of plays into what it means to me to be a father, and that is a leader. So I believe that Chad was just showing skills of a leader by going first for the men. So I just want to start by saying thank you, Chad. When Mike asked me to do this about 3 weeks ago, I honestly thought to myself, no way. I don't want to be up here, didn't want to be in front of you guys, but I prayed about it, and I also thought it'd be a good way to show to my kids, who can be a little bit of introverts themselves, that it's okay to get up in front of people, it's okay to share, show them what it's like to be a leader. So, and then I wanted to know what it was, what the word leader really meant, and I have a really old dictionary. It's a Webster's dictionary from the late 1800s, and I kind of liked what it had to say in there about a leader. It said, a leader can be defined as someone who has influence and goes before another, who gives direction. And then in that dictionary, it also said, in the same way that God led the Israelites through the desert with a pillar of clouds by day and a pillar of fire by night. And I thought that was really interesting that it would say that. And it, I said, the example here, led by a pillar of fire, might seem pretty dramatic to some. But to me, it just opened my eyes and let me know the importance of a leader and how big a role that plays in my kids' lives. Something I work on daily is to, and pray about often, is to be a good example to my kids, to say the right things, act in the right ways, and most importantly, is to love unconditionally. The Bible says in Philippians 2:14-15, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean and innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. And that's something that I believe is really important that we do for our kids and for other people, you know, that maybe aren't Christians, that we're to let our light shine. And I tell you, it's awful hard to refrain from complaining and arguing sometimes. You know, I'm definitely guilty of that myself. But if I told you I act out everything in those last couple of verses, it wouldn't be the truth. If I were to take my mask off for you guys right now, I'd say, truth is, I'm sure I missed the mark often. But I think that's part of being a father and a leader. You're going to make mistakes. I feel, though, the focus should not rest on the mistakes that have been made, but how I choose to react afterwards, in the moments afterwards. I like to listen to a lot of music, and I feel that it sometimes speaks to me spiritually. And I came across this band called Sanctus Real, and they have a song that's titled Lead Me. And I wanted to read a little bit of the lyrics from the last half of the song for you guys. And it starts like this. I see their faces, look in their innocent eyes. They're just children from the outside. I'm working hard. I tell myself to be everything I am called to be. Oh, Father, show me the way to lead them. Won't you lead me? To lead them with strong hands, to stand up when they can't. Don't want to leave them hungry for love, chasing things that I could give up. I'll show them I'm willing to fight and give them the best of my life. So we call this a home. Lead me, because I can't do this alone. Father, lead me, because I can't do this alone. There was a couple things that really stuck out in this song to me. You know, he's asking that the Father leads him, and I think that's really important, and that's what I ask myself and pray about often, is just, I need guidance, because I'm finding these things out every day when I wake up. It's something different with raising my kids, and it's really important that I'm not trying to chase things that I feel are important to me, and that instead I'm giving them the love they need. Because I'm only going to have them for a little while, and then they're going to grow up and raise kids of their own. So this song really spoke to me. So, but I was never meant to do this on my own. That's why all I have to do is remember that Jesus is right by my side all the way. I might add, it helps to simply have the most amazing wife ever. I also think it's good to have a brother in Christ that you can call on to talk to when you're struggling with something or just need someone to talk to. I have just recently started to implement this. So far, results are good. To be a father also means to have fun, to laugh at funny things my kids do, like open fire on me with a Nerf gun when I walk through the door. To be a father means playing a game of horsey in the living room when I'm the horse and the kids are the rider. And this one's fun until the kids get bigger and you have a very aggressive rider like my Gracie, which insists on spurring and very long rides. The first time that my kids reel in a fish, the look on their face, that's something I'll never forget. The Bible says in Psalms 127:3 that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. It is an exciting gift to watch how my kids have grown in Christ over the years. This certainly makes me proud as their father. I can truly say that being a father is simply one of the single most rewarding things in my life, second to my walk with Jesus. That's how amazing it really is to me. I love my kids and my wife more than anything, and they are truly a blessing to me. And I'd like to finish up here with a couple of quotes that mean quite a bit to me. They might mean something to you guys, but they surely mean something to me. The first one is by Phillips Brooks, an American bishop from the 1800s. He says, "Be such a man and live such a life that if every man were such as you and every life such as yours, this earth would be God's paradise." And the second one is by Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision. He says, "One man cannot do it all, but one man with a lifetime can be enough of an example to have someone follow in his footsteps." And that's my favorite. I think to myself, I mean, how great would it be that I can lead a good enough example to my children that they would want to follow in my footsteps? And I know that I would have done a good job. Thank you.
I hope everybody brought their pillows. I have quite a bit of advantage over the rest of the guys. I knew this assignment was coming back in February, I think it was. With the convergence program that Mike and Mark and I are going through, this was actually one of our assignments that I did there. And Mike said, "Great, you're going to do that again on Father's Day." Okay. So this presentation isn't designed for you guys. It's designed for me and my family. I pray the Spirit may use what I'm going to say to impact your life, but I've learned I'm not living up to God's given directives to truly lead my family, and this is my observations where I have areas of opportunity to improve, and it's my plan to do so. In fact, I invite any one of you at any time in the future to question me on my progress on this and hold me to the path that I've chosen. My wife, Belinda, is a stay-at-home mom. She works way harder than I ever could. She maintains the house, keeps control of the finances. We just did our first year of homeschooling. She provides almost all of the meals. She's working on her second master's degree. And she has daily pain. She has an undiagnosed condition, which causes not only pain, but fatigue. And some mornings are just difficult for her just to get out of bed. And yet she still does all this stuff. And somewhere in the end of this, she still finds time to support and encourage me when I'm having troubles. Michael is my oldest. He's a very creative young man. He's very emotional. He may be pushed over the edge a little too easy sometimes, but he's also very compassionate, caring, and not just for our family members, but for people he doesn't even know. His activity of choice is typically something involving a TV or a video game. And, you know, that may be partially my fault for using the electronic babysitter a few too much, but I hate to admit it, but with most video games, he gives me a good run for my money. So. We set limits on what he can do for his game time or his TV time. But it's still a constant, "Hey, can I play? Hey, can I play? Hey, can I play?" Later. "No, Michael, you can't play right now." He has a few minimal chores around the house. Typically, the big one is keep an eye on your brother for a while I do this. Speaking of his brother, if you guys have met Gabe, you know he's a little tank. Some of the favorite phrases I've heard to describe him are stubborn, obstinate, or my personal favorite is precocious. Where Michael, when he was growing up, we'd tell him no two or three times and it was done. With Gabe, we tell him two or three times an hour, and usually he'll still just smile real slyly and go ahead and do it anyway because he's Gabe. Me, I work three 12-hour shifts in the busiest emergency department in Salem. I work, on average, about a 24-hour shift once a week or so on an ambulance in Jefferson. I volunteer with the local fire department. I work with the Cub Scouts. I lead the junior high youth group. I lead the junior high WANA group. We have a small group at our house. I'm attending school full-time online for a Bachelor of Science in Religion. I attend Convergence. I find myself very dangerously dangling on that line of absentee dad. Even when I'm home, I have schoolwork. I have yet another book to read. I have a lesson to prepare, or lessons. Or I'm simply exhausted, I just don't have the time or energy to be able to focus. Dads are called to lead their families. Well, I'm not so great at that at this point. I bring my family to Sunday services. Again, we do the small group. The boys and I read a little child Bible for Gabe at night, and we pray at night. There's been a disconnect from my wife and I, and from my boys and I. It's almost like we're more roommates rather than a family. And it's primarily my fault. Scripture describes the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. All three are equal, yet all three have distinct roles. The Father is supreme among the Godhead. The Son submits to the Father. The Spirit submits to the Father and the Son, except during Christ's time on earth. But they work in harmony. You don't see them bickering or arguing. There's no jealousy or resentfulness. Every single one of us is in a position of some sort of submission. Wives are to submit to their husbands, children to their parents, congregations to their elders. People are to submit to Christ. Rather than despising authority or yielding begrudgingly, Jesus shows us the true submission. In Luke 4, 1-2, submission to the Spirit, he submits to the Spirit when he's led into the desert to be tempted for 40 days. In Hebrews 9, Jesus went to the cross as the Spirit led and empowered him to accomplish his most difficult calling. And he's constantly referring to the will of his Father rather than his own. Those in authority and submission are on the same page, fulfilling the same goal, supporting one another in common mission, and accomplishing separate tasks. There's an extraordinary love between son and father. As fathers, we are called to demonstrate that. I find it kind of humbling that God chooses to call himself our father. And if we're to be fathers, that's kind of a big shoe to fill. That is a huge title to live up to. So I accept my place as head of my household. Belinda submits to me, and we both recognize our equality of human nature and the work of a joyous harmony in our relationship. As a father, I have the God-given mandate and privilege of blessing my children by cultivating an environment at home where they grow, respect, love, obey, and follow Christ in obedience to me in honor of both Belinda and I. I have abandoned my post. As of today, I hereby reclaim my duties as husband, to love my wife as Christ loved the church, and to love my children as the Father loved the Son. I will be the shepherd to my wife and my son's need, as empowered by the Spirit. I will strengthen my personal spiritual walk, so I in turn strengthen the walk of my family. As long as the Lord grants me the ability to read Scripture and pray, I will do so daily, and I will pray for my family individually and as a whole. I will, with deference to my wife's input, develop a plan for ministering to my family to treat them as a blessing from God that they are. Again, I ask each of you here to hold me to these words and to keep me accountable to the proper path. Thank you for your help in caring for my family.
Well, I think if God had to give me a name, I'd probably be Jeremiah the Weeping Prophet. When I think about things like this, it touches my heart, especially to hear the young guys. Love for their family. It's powerful. My dad passed away 10 years ago, but you know what? He was always there for me. Words of wisdom to be a father. Pick a good wife. My wife's been with me through everything, you know, thick and thin. Without her, I'm nothing. I know I can't do it by myself. And when I found out I had a father in heaven who cared for me even more than my earthly father, who was always there for me, makes life a lot easier. I hang on the verse in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not anger your children. Raise them up in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. I've tried my whole life to never, never argue around my kids. To never, ever put my kids down. To lift them up, even when some of the things they're doing is pretty stupid. We still support them. I look back at some of the things I've did in my life growing up and wonder why my father didn't just get rid of me or something, you know. I was pretty ornery when I was little, but you know what? He was always there for me. And for fathers, especially young fathers raising kids, young kids, it is so important for them to know that they have a safe place. Someone that can come home to and talk to and know that they are loved. It's the most important thing in a family. It's a privilege to be a father. And the best, I think I look at my dad, and he led by example. My dad, he got mad every once in a while, but I can never remember him and my mom actually arguing together. If they did, they did it in privacy, never in front of us kids. I remember when I came back from Vietnam. I don't think I wrote one letter home when I was in Vietnam. Terrible thing. They didn't even know I was coming home. And when I come home, I went to the house and my mom opened the door and welcomed me with open arms. And I said, "Where's my dad?" "Well, he's at work." So we drove out to where my dad was working. My dad quit work that day so he could be with me. For the next week, all we did, we traveled around Oregon. If we seen a little lake we wanted to fish in, we fished in it. We spent time together. Those are special times. I can remember being at Crane Prairie when we got up early in the morning and put the boat out on the lake, and a way to catch fish over there is just wait for the breeze to start blowing. Just put a fly out and you catch the big trout over there. But when the sun comes up, you get up early, the sun feels pretty warm, so we kind of both dozed off in the back of this boat and woke up about 11 o'clock. Couldn't move. We had to cut our fishing trip a little short. We were both sunburned so bad, you know. But my dad made it enjoyable. He was a very patient man. I remember we made a lot of trips back from Tennessee out to Oregon. There was five of us kids in the back seat of the car. No seat belts. Jumping around. My mom's pulling her hair out, which probably explains a lot today. But my dad would be driving down the road reading a Superman comic book. And my mom would say, "Jimmy, speak to those kids. Hello, kids." And down the road we'd go, you know. Patience. Have patience with your kids. It's too easy. It's too easy just to blow up and tell them what they're doing wrong. Tell them what they're doing right. They're kids. I've got a letter here from one of my daughters. I don't know if I can read it or not. God, give me the strength. She wrote it last Father's Day. I asked her if it's okay to read it. She said, "Sure, share it." It's a little bit of perspective, and it helps me to know that some of the things I did must have been right. Because it's from my kids, from my daughter. It's dated June 19th, 2011, Father's Day. It says, "Dad, since through the years, it's always seemed that you had it all. You never showed worry, concern, or stress, not to mention any anger. I truly love you for that and much more. Today, it still appears that way. You've got it all. With that being said, I felt that taking the time to share just a sliver of some of the moments in my life that I will forever cherish would be the best gift I could give. The black metal lunchbox, pack it to work every day, bring it home at night. I'd always stop and get a roll of Juicy Fruit for the girls." And she writes, "Juicy Fruit. Not just gum that he brought home, a way to show us that even away from home, my dad was thinking of us. Old Yeller, one of my old four-wheel drive pickups, standing on the seat beside my dad before you had to have seat belts. While he was driving, I felt so big and important, especially when I got to help drive. I always let my kids drive. You want to drive? Yeah, get over here. They'd get in my lap and down the road we'd go. You know, today they'd lock you up and throw you away probably. So, and don't forget the mint chocolate chip ice cream I stuck to the roof inside the truck. I never cleaned it off. I left it there." And she says, "Sometimes I wonder if it's still there." And then we'd clean up around the house. We used to make trips to the dump over at Lebanon to take our garbage. And we had a little song we would sing. To the dump, to the dump, to the dump, 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 to the dump, to the dump, to the dump, dump, dump. And then we'd have to go by Brewster's store and get some pop and candy or whatever. It says, "Of course, there was the blue metallic glittery helmet and the gold wing motorcycle. Wow, only my dad could give the whole family a ride on it at the same time. I bought it for the family. Come on, get on." So, it was times like that that we were all so important, that was all so important. You made sure we all rode with you the first time at the same time. Summertime, time to go hay, load up the truck, go out to fixings, drive around the field, get our load, come home, unload, and always follow up with mom's sweet tea. Only my dad would think I could drive his truck when I was so young. He never doubted me. Then, then the time mom loaded up the coolers off to the creek with Uncle Butch, Aunt Bonnie, Dad, Mom, and a ton of kids. Time to get wood. Back the truck down to the log jam, pack chainsaws, axes, oils, gas, and files. Let the fun begin. Swimming suits, cutoffs, bare feet, flip-flops, and all the while cutting wood. What? Only my dad. Only my dad was tough enough for that, and he knew none of us kids would get hurt because he was there to keep us safe. I'm not sure how much help all of us kids really were, but my dad never let us believe any different. When I would work side by side with my dad, life couldn't get any better. This work was always followed with a great time swimming and eating, laughing, and don't forget, jumping off dad's shoulders. Yeah. Before he shrunk in the water. I don't know if you... Floating around, looking at us, declaring the water made him shrink. I don't know if you've ever done that. You float, you pull your knees up so just your toes are sticking out about 3 feet from your chin, so in the water you look like you're about 3 feet long. I'd always tell them, hey, look, it made me shrink, you know. Of course, they always laughed, you know, just to make me happy, I think, so. So there were many, many times with the Beerleys, who were neighbors with us on Loma Myers, that I will forever cherish too. Let's see, the six-man toboggan, Candy, which was a horse I had, and how many kids. My dad was so awesome. No one else had a dad who had a six-man toboggan, a big horse, and knew how to pull it, and would take the time to play with us. And then there was Honeycomb Hideout. If I could just get Tam to wait, Tammy needed to wait to make me feel. Well, would I leave something out here? Wait a minute. There we go. Skipped a page. Whole section in my life. Okay. Honeycomb Hideout. If I could just get Tam to wait on the road, Dad would be coming home from work soon, and I knew he would save me from being stuck in the tree for the rest of my life. She was stuck. And he did. Being hungry, tired, and just wanting to get home after work, my dad still stopped to save me. The first hunting trip I took her on. Still always making me feel so very important. One last hunt for the day. Just my dad and I jumped on a four-wheeler and away we went. Down the road, turned on an old logging road and slowly putted along. We only had dad's rifle, the 7mm. He knew, no worries, she could shoot it. It was just like hers. Not, she writes. We saw some tracks, saw an elk, and dad got out his cow call. Holy smokes, only my dad could call an elk right back to us. Those giant animals came running from the other side of the hill down to the bottom of the canyon and right back up to within, and she writes, super close. To us, well, let's just say we know the rest of the story. In the end, my dad knew exactly what he needed to do to make me feel like I didn't let him down. No matter what, my dad had my back. There was some comment kind of like, no one else will ever know. This is your elk. Nobody knows, okay, what really happened. So I'll take it to my grave, okay? All because my dad loved me. And like I said, this is just a sliver of all the times together that are forever embedded in my heart. You always stayed calm and reassured me with a little twinkle in your eye, smirk on your face. You made it known that no matter what I did, said, or how I acted, you still loved me unconditionally just because I was me and you were my dad. Thank you for teaching me the values of family, unconditional love. Thank you for being a God-fearing man, a loving husband to my mother, and an incredible grandpa to my children, and most important to me, my dad. I love you. Happy Father's Day.
Morning.
Well, once I got over the fact that Mike had gripped me with the old guys, I just haven't been ready to admit that yet. But I did have some concern about getting up and speaking. I'm not an introvert. I don't mind speaking. But I knew at least one of my adult children would be here, Benjamin. And later in the week, it was confirmed that my daughter and son-in-law would be here as well. So I have to be careful what I say, because they're certainly old enough to come back at me. Benjamin, of course, would post something on Facebook that would be not necessarily good for me. And my concern, I'll confess it, is that my daughter would then tell her husband that he can't take me fishing anymore. So I do have to be careful what I say. The other challenge, when I got here and saw the order of service, I thought, I'm number six. You know, the odds that someone will have stole my thunder by the time I get up here are just pretty great. And that's sort of happened in a way. You know, they've touched upon things that I wanted to talk about. And with the young guys, it's really interesting to look at what they're going through. And it does cause me to reflect on some things that maybe I could have done differently or better. But what I like to lean on when it comes to my children is a verse, though, and I walked through, don't provoke your children and raise up a child in the way that he should go, and all of those things that are really such good advice. God provided so much instruction. I felt, I've violated those so many times that I need to look for something that I can really, really personalize. And I think because of the imperfections of my approach to parenting and maybe the lack of control over my emotions at times, I like to lean toward 1 Peter 4:8. Now, the context is not fathers' instructions to fathers, but more general instructions to believers. As times become difficult, Peter provides a lot of instruction on how we should handle ourselves. And the latter part of the verse points out that love covers a multitude of sins. Well, it talks about continuing, above all, to love one another. And the implication is that there will be a multitude of sins that need covering. And so that comforts me, knowing that I do have something that can cover me. And hopefully the love has come through. But it has been a challenge for me. I was, my parents divorced when I was about two. I had a stepdad, but although he was there until I was about 14, he wasn't really there. And some of his influence was not necessarily great. So I've needed to sort of learn as I went along, and a lot of imperfections. And a lot of the things pointed out by some of you guys who've spoken before have pointed out more areas where I've, probably could have done things differently. But I appreciate the love aspect that permeates Scripture. It's the greatest commandment. And I've found that over the years, when people have talked, pastors or, other things that I've read, about how it is that we can use the model that we have with our own, our earthly fathers, to speak to us about the relationship that we would have with our heavenly fathers, I had a tendency to focus on the lack of relationship. And I guess it, to some degree, was sort of a poor me, wish I'd had that, I think it, honestly, if I'm going to be straight, something I really didn't start thinking about until I was asked to speak. And as I studied and sort of thought about and rethought, and yes, Dennis, I think things to death, was that the model could be reversed. The way that I've been able to begin to understand the love that God has for me, and, you know, Tom, I was hoping you'd break down even more because that would make me look strong. The love that I feel for my children maybe is just a little bit of what God feels for me. So the model doesn't work as my relationship with my earthly father. It works for me as my relationship with my heavenly father. And I hope that the love that I have for my children can overcome some of the things that I've done that are probably not the best. And I hope that my Heavenly Father can continue to feel that kind of love for me. And I think it's only after becoming a father that I was able to really start to understand and to appreciate that. And no, I didn't bring notes, and I'm not sure why I brought the Bible up here, because even with my reading glasses, you know, the Bibles in the pews are not made for old people. I don't know if you've noticed, but anyway, so that's really what I've gained from being a father. So and I too cannot understand how a father cannot love his children. So thank you for your time.
Okay. After listening to everybody up there, same thing, right? I agree, you hear a lot of things of what the guys are saying, and my thoughts are, yeah, that sounds really good. I wish I would have done that. You know, back when I was first raising my kids, I don't know if all of you know who I am, Russ Blumenstein, as it says up there, but where I come from. I don't come from a Christian background at all, nor was I even introduced into church very deeply until I met my wife. Not for her, I would not be standing up here. Gosh, I don't want to start going there already. I'm already going to be breaking down. But I came from a fairly large family, 7 kids, 4 sisters, 2 brothers, and I was thinking about my dad and how he raised us all, and it got me thinking how, you know, I've got 2 sons, and the struggles you have and that you go through of, you know, how are you going to raise your kids, are you going to do it right, are you going to mess them up. I can't imagine how my mom and dad got through the 7 of us and stayed sane. That is another story. We grew up, we played with each other. We had no friends, family, you know, close people around us because we grew up in the mountains. Whatever we did was whatever we could imagine. I can't say I didn't enjoy that part because it was really great. My dad supported us the best way he could. He taught us a lot, brought us up in the building trade, so that's where I learned a lot of my building trade. Well, I grew up as a carpenter. I grew up thinking that's what I would be for a while, watching my mom and dad together. There was a lot of struggles, like I said, and I'll probably ramble here, but a lot of what I watched between my mom and dad were
and not exactly what I thought would be a good life. I made a pretty big commitment at that time when I was probably 12, saying that there's no way I'm getting married. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go through all that. It's just too much trouble. In fact, I even think I had a dream of a cabin in some canyon and being a hermit all my life. God, of course, has other plans. I don't regret any of the things that I did. I wish I wouldn't have done a lot of what I did growing up. But what I do look back on now is that that grew me up where I'm at now. Still trying to grow up. It's been quite a few years. I think maybe in another 50, I might be pretty close. But when I got into my relationship with my wife and learned who she was, it grew me up, well, to the point I am now, really. Growing up, my kids, and looking at them and thinking of all the things that I'm doing wrong, all the things that I'm really messing them up. I'm not going to get them ready for being out on their own. All those fears that a lot of people have. And I'm listening to the other guys and I'm thinking they've got a really good clue as far as spending time with your kids. Sometimes I don't think that I spent enough, but at the time, it was work, 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 stay busy, support your family. That's where I was at. My goal was not to treat my kids in a way that made them hate me. At least I'd hope not. You know, you had the discipline and the things that come with that and the hurt that you feel. That old saying of when you're going to give your kid a little bit of discipline and you say, this is going to hurt me more than it is you. Physically, it might hurt them. Emotionally, it tears you up. I think I learned a lot from watching other families from this church. I've been going here for a long time. I'm not a theologian as much as I would like to be, working on that. But things that I know now, I wish I would have known 27 years ago. bringing my kids up in a godly manner, I can't say that I did that in the first part of their life. My wife did all of that. She did so much more than I. Now I'm hoping to maybe be an influence on my grandkids, which has been a joy. I think if I want to teach my kids or want my kids to take something from me, I think it would be the Philippians 2, humbling yourself as God humbled himself to come to us. If he can do that, I should be able to do that. But humble myself, make others better than myself. Love everybody, no matter who they are. Love them where they're at. I think that's what I would like to teach my kids is just don't put yourself above anybody else. In doing that, you're above everybody else. Sorry, I'm pausing. I think there's so much to be done in your child's life. And that has gone by for me. My boys are up and gone. Of spending the kind of time that will prepare them for anything out there in the world. You know, we grow up as parents worrying about our kids, like I said, and how you're affecting them, what they're going to do. And you think that, you know, when they're young, you're happy. When they get a little older, you're kind of wondering if it's ever going to be over. And as they go out, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't protect them anymore. They're on their own. Both my sons have said to me, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for me that will save me when I'm out there on my own? You can't. So there's no use worrying about it, because God is the only one that's going to protect us. Just keep that in mind. Worrying about us is only going to give you headaches. But I don't know of anybody that has kids that cannot, even when they're adults, they're still your kids. And I'm just going to stop there, because I'm just rambling again. But I will say, it's been really fun. Well, there's one little note I do want to say. Just read it. I talked to Dustin about it. But you with the little ones, from the time they're born, you realize that you only have 940 Saturdays to spend with them. So keep that in mind. It goes really fast. Dustin, I told him, he's got 932 to go with his son. Thanks.
Okay, we're running out of time. So I can just cancel me, right? Oh, okay. Well, we'll try to keep this short. I'm just going to offer one little word of advice to dads. Spend time with your kids. You'll find that in the Bible when you look for it. Spend time with your kids and listen to them. I think back to all the times I didn't listen to my kids that I should have. And I see some of that results now as they've grown older. So you just need to take that time and listen to them when your daughter comes crying to you about a cat, and she's just in full tears, and you just got to take the time to listen. You may find yourself up an 18-foot ladder in a 30-foot tree trying to save a cat, even after you've explained 20 times that there are no cat skeletons ever found in trees, but that's part of being a father. And so I was thinking about that yesterday as I was out fishing. You know the rest of the story. And I was listening to my son-in-law talk about his early childhood. And he had a father, but he didn't have a Christian father. And he didn't grow up in the church. He didn't have a lot of the advantages that I had as a young man. And he didn't really get to know God and Jesus until much later in his life. And I'm amazed when I talk to him today how rapidly that has changed his life, what a difference it's made in his life, where he's now out trying to encourage others to walk in Christ's way. And it was just a joy to listen to his journey yesterday from early age to today and raising his children about where he's been as a father. And I could relate to so many of those things as a father because, you know, I've had my failures, and I've seen and listened to Buck talk about his, and I could relate to those things. But anyhow, that's about all I wanted to say, because we need to keep moving. So what's next? Worship team?
Everything, now I can preach, right?
Amen.
No, I do want to share just a quick little thing from John. In fact, even before that, just think about those songs, because I know that here's the deal. There are some dads in the room who are saying, wow, I didn't. Look at what I didn't. And there are some dads who are possibly saying, look what I could. I want you to understand, just like that song says, it doesn't matter where you're at previous, it's where you're at right now. Ask the Lord. You know, and maybe you're not a dad at all yet. You know, you've got some examples set before you. Ask the Lord, clean my heart, clean my spirit. Take everything I have, put it aside. Show me what you want. And I share this out of John. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but next week we'll be going into John chapter 10. And there's two I am statements that are said here that I believe apply to the Father. So chapter 10, just starting there in verse 1, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, the man is a thief and a robber." And I would say this, dads, you need to be on guard, because there are a lot, there are a lot of thieves and a lot of robbers trying to take your spot. Okay, I like TV, I like movies. There's a lot of great dads throughout TV history, right? But they're not dads. They're not the guys who are going to raise my kids. I'm not going to let that happen. There's a lot of different people who are going to enter into your lives that are going to try to raise you. I'm not saying supplement. I'm not saying guys like youth pastors and Sunday school teachers who are going to walk alongside you in raising your kids, who are going to be there to help and to guide. But they're going to be those who are just simply going to try to steal. And listen to what Jesus says as far as this door, this gateway to where the sheep are. Verse 7, it says, so Jesus says to them again, because they didn't understand what he was saying. "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door," or perhaps your translation says, "the gate." You are the gate. Fathers, you are the very thing that keeps that keeps the kids safe. Everything should come through you. Everything should come through you. But Jesus doesn't stop with his picture there. If we just jump down to verse 11, Jesus says this. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." There's this double duty when it comes to the fathers. Yeah, you're the gate. Everything comes through you. You know, but at the same time, I mean, you are the shepherd. As a pastor, and previously in my time as a youth pastor, it would have been very easy for me to say, "Well, I'll take care of the kids. I'll raise these kids up." No. That's the dad's job. That's. And I've had a lot of kids, and throughout our ministry, they didn't have the dad. They didn't have dad. Period. You know, and there's times like that where I saw men within the church step up and became this good shepherd. There are kids in our community, there are kids here that need that. But more importantly, dads, your kids need that. And as the example is set then, later on, it's interesting how Jesus goes from this picture of the shepherd into what he does in the second half of this chapter. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do, my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." And look at Jesus' relationship to his Father right here in verse 30. "I and the Father are one." And I would say that dads, as you raise your kids, wherever you're at, starting today, where you raise your kids, where you invest in your kids, where you protect your kids, these kids will then come up and they will do the exact same thing. I cannot help it. I'm, you know, going back to Chad's picture of putting them on the shoulder, you know, just the picture of you're the one carrying them. You're the one holding on. If not you, who? I'm just going to close in prayer. The worship team's got another song that they're going to do. And while they're doing that song, you're free. We're done. You're dismissed. You're free to leave. But we have the communion stuff out. And the communion is always going to be there. And it's always for everyone. Okay? Perhaps there's some of you here. You're saying, okay, what? You know what? Lord, I'm handing over my fatherhood to you. You tell me. You show me. Okay? Maybe you're in a situation where you're like, okay, I'm not a father yet. But Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to bring these kind of men in my life to help me. But also what I want to do, as we've explored, communion can be a little bit awkward sometimes. I would invite the fathers in particular, not exclusively, but the fathers particularly, would you get the communion stuff, maybe even just you know, either take your family up to the table, if your family's here, and it doesn't matter what age they are, they don't have to be little ones, but take your family to the communion table, or grab the pieces and take them back to you, but have communion, lead them in a moment of communion. I'm going to pray. Father God, we do come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the relationship that he exampled for us. Father, we thank you that, Lord, that even in these moments, I know that even here right now, there are those amongst us that, Lord, they would say, but I have no father. But Lord, we do. We have a father in you. Father, I pray that as the men have spoken here, that, Lord, that you would challenge them, you would encourage them, and you would keep them going. And Father, there are so many others that are here today that could have been here, that could have shared, that have testimony. And Father, that just because they weren't here, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them to share their stories and their testimonies with one another. Father, I pray that as we leave this place, that Lord, there would be those who would see the men of Scio Baptist Church be men of God. Father, it is a burden that is so heavy, but Lord, you share it with us. Father, I pray for the children here today that they might be able to look at their dads. And Father, in those areas where maybe there isn't one, Father, that you would bring alongside grandfathers and uncles and Sunday school teachers and Lord, just that friendly face in the hallway. But Lord, that you would protect them, that you would guide them, you would direct them, and you would inspire them to be, Father, the dads that you have called them to be. Father God, again, we thank you for this time. We give you all the glory. Amen.